You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Welcome back, Real Presence Live listeners. This is Melissa Scaccio coming to you from the one and only St. James Coffee in Rochester, Minnesota. We just finished up our first half hour with Oscar Delgado, who is a Hollywood Catholic film producer, who was great to talk to. He is a movie coming out, Jesus Thirst, the Eucharist, or the Miracle of the Eucharist, which extremely fitting as we are in the third year of our Eucharistic revival, trying to bring back the belief in the real presence to our faithful Catholics. So it's like the new evangelization. We're making sure the Catholics actually know what the Catholic Church teaches. We have with us right now Kristen Van Uden. We're going to talk about the movie Cabrini and some book stuff with that. And then at the top of the hour at 10 o'clock, we will transition to Bishop Barron. And then our last half hour, we'll be with Amy Cummings from Steubenville Conferences. So welcome, Kristen.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you for joining us today. Mother Cabrini has returned to the public consciousness this year due to the movie Cabrini. Could you introduce us to who Mother Cabrini was for those people who've never heard of her or haven't seen the movie yet?
Sure. So Mother Cabrini was the first canonized American citizen to become a saint. So that is what makes her unique. And I know oftentimes people will sometimes get her confused with Mother Elizabeth Ann Seton or other American saints, which was definitely the case for me before I undertook this project of putting together books about the movie. So I was really grateful to get to know her a bit more. She was born in Italy in the Lombardy region in the north, and she always had a religious vocation from a young age. She attended a school with the Sisters of the Sacred Heart and just felt the call to religious life. But unfortunately, due to her health, she was unable to enter that order, and several others also rejected her. So she had tuberculosis when she was a child, and that affected her throughout her life, although she did end up living to quite the old age of 67, considering her condition. This ended up to be somewhat of a blessing in disguise because Mother went on to found her own order, which was called the Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which, as you can tell from the name, was very devoted to missionary work, especially abroad. So she established first an orphanage and just a charitable center in her home country. But she really had a heart for the East, especially, and famously she wanted to travel to China to establish a mission there. So she approached the Pope, Leo XIII, to ask permission for this mission, and he told her, as quoted in the movie, not to the east, but to the west. And so he instructed her instead to go to New York City, which sounds a bit counterintuitive because New York...
That's the wrong way.
You think of a civilized place where you don't really need a lot of establishment of the church. The church has already been there for years. But the church community in New York, especially the Italian immigrant community, was suffering greatly and was living in horrible conditions, as depicted in the film. And so the Pope saw the great need there and thought Mother Cabrini would be perfect for this, given her Italian heritage and also just her heart for orphans and for helping those in need. So the film covers this period where she traveled to New York to found her mission there. And she was quite successful despite the very many adversities that she faced. And Mother went on to found 67 additional missions throughout the globe during her lifetime, including more in the U.S., also in Central and South America and Europe, and eventually her order did make it to Asia and including China as well. So like I mentioned, she died at the age of 67 in 1917, and then she was canonized not long after in 1946, so relatively short turnaround time, and among other things, she is the patron saint of immigrants.
Oh, that's so beautiful, and actually, at my church, St. Francis of Assisi in Rochester, there's a relic of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini.
Really?
And for years, when I looked at it, I thought it was a guy. Because Xavier... Because it just says right. F. Dot Xavier Cabrini, and I'm like, oh, well, that is
okay.
A guy. And we did, like, a relic showing, and I was like, oh, no, this is a woman. And she's from the United States, and I had no idea who she was before that. And what an incredible story. So inspiring. My kids are actually, my husband's dad was from Sicily, so it really hit them how the Italian immigrants were treated in New York. Just, it was shocking to them to be like, that was not that long ago that people of my heritage were treated so poorly. So it really hit me on a lot of levels, that was for sure. So what did you think of the film?
I thought it was fantastic. It was really just visually powerful, and as a period drama, first of all, it was excellent in terms of the costumes and the setting, and that's one thing that's difficult to get right without a huge budget and lots of research, so they absolutely hit the nail on the head with that. And then it really introduced Mother Cabrini's life and her struggles in this very immediate way, because especially the struggles of the Italian immigrants is something that we may read about but not fully understand the degree of persecution. And so it really delved into that. And as you alluded to, at that time, the U.S. was really, it was really more of a Protestant country. And the powers that be were Protestant, were WASPy, Anglo-Saxon heritage. And so immigrants from anywhere that wasn't considered part of that milieu were treated quite poorly, including a couple of generations earlier, the Irish as well, which is a running theme throughout the film, is how these immigrants have been able to stand up for their human dignity, and how Mother Cabrini played a role in that, not just for Italians, but for everyone. And so that was extremely powerful, because, again, reading about it doesn't really bring it home the way that the visuals of the poverty did. So just depicting the children living in the sewers and the horrible conditions, and just how that has an effect on the moral and spiritual life of the people as well, and how Mother was able to heal people who had had horrible experiences in their very short lives so far through the faith, and just the power of the faith to stop the tide and the effects of sin. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, and I just... We think we know what poor looks like in the United States, mm-hmm. and we really don't. Like, I was taken aback as someone who has raised children, and in my head, you know, we're like well below lower middle class, but we have so much. And my kids were just like, you know, we've always kind of joked that we were poor, but we were not poor. And just, it was extremely moving to just see, like, these poor children that came for a better life, and then they're just... Oh, it just reminds me of Mother Teresa, too, as well, in her movie, just to see what actual poverty and, like, persecution looks like, and to just have that visual in your head. Oh, it's extremely moving.
That's a great point. And Mother Teresa actually took inspiration from Mother Cabrini, I learned while doing this
I just heard that yesterday, actually. There was a sound clip I listened to, and they're like, she was after canonization or something, and then that was the day she quit. She quit the religious order shortly after that, and then went and pursued what she was doing under the inspiration of Mother Cabrini.
Which, I didn't know that part. That's awesome.
I'm definitely probably paraphrasing that, but like, what an incredible thing to know that. I was that inspired, and to know that that's actually one of the things that inspired Mother Teresa as well is just a beautiful thing.
Right, yeah. It's amazing to discover that all of your favorite saints have their own favorite saints.
It makes it so much more human.
Too.
Like, we are inspired by them as our saints were inspired by them. And it just, like, it's really, like, that's our family. And we should be inspired by the greatest members of our family that do the most wonderful things. Oh, that is so beautiful.
Circle.
It is completely full circle, which is incredible. So you have done some work with some books, right? The World Is Too Small and The Mother Cabrini Companion, is that correct?
Yes, so I actually wrote, compiled, and edited The Mother Cabrini Companion. So for those who might be confused, my previous book was published under my maiden name, Kristen Van Uden, and I wrote a book detailing the lives of Catholics who suffered persecution under communism called When the Sickle Swings. And this is my second one, which is under my married name since I've since gotten married, Kristen Terrio.
Also, I was introducing you incorrectly. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But for this book, I basically collected Mother Cabrini's writings to her sisters from when she was traveling abroad, and she was still acting as their spiritual director, essentially. So these letters are very beautiful because they contain her meditations on everything that she's experiencing, as well as just these encouragements for pursuing their missionary vocations and meditations on missionary zeal and on the sacraments, etc. So I always love to read the saints in their own writing whenever possible, because it really helps you to get to know them in a much more direct and immediate way. And so I've kind of organized these into 52 weeks. So this is a devotion for the year, but also a companion to the movie. So it's not something you have to read all at once. You can kind of take these meditations and chew on them at adoration, or once per week, or at your own pace, and have kind of extracted some of these gems on a thematic basis throughout the year. The other book that I'm representing today is actually a reprint from the 1940s, and it's a full biography of Mother Cabrini, and that one's called The World is Too Small, which we have reprinted with a new foreword from Cardinal Dolan, so to bring in that New York City element again.
Oh, that's beautiful. So really, the books complement the movie very well. If someone if someone really enjoyed the movie and wanted to really dive into Mother, these would be the perfect thing to do that with.
Exactly. Yes, because I know after I see a movie that I'm really interested in based on a true story, I'll run to the internet and try to read stuff just haphazardly. So it's great to have that actual physical companion that you can turn to really delve deep into Mother's life.
I know, and I, ever since I saw the movie, like she says, just start the mission and the means will come. And that has just been resonating in my head ever since. And I can imagine what gems are in the Mother Cabrini companion. Like, what other things she said that would be just inspirational for everyone.
Yeah, that theme really comes across, is that she had this almost childlike trust in God, that she would take the leap into these seemingly very risky endeavors, both financially and in terms of travel. Like, travel was not easy during those
days.
Or
safe, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And that God would always provide. And if he didn't, she knew that that wasn't his will and that he wanted her to redirect and go somewhere else. So she had this real fearlessness that, although she was meek, she was someone who was quite tenacious and had this great combination that was rooted in her humility and her just keeping her eyes on heaven in the next life.
Oh, so beautiful. Well, we are going to head to break here on Real Presence Live. And we will be back after the break to talk more with Kristen about Mother Cabrini and the books and so many things. And then stay tuned, because at 10 o'clock we'll be here with Bishop Robert Barron. Stay tuned.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Did you know you can listen to the RPR Network when you're on the go? Just search for Real Presence Radio in your app store. Listen live to any station across the network at any time, so you can stay connected to your local community from wherever you are. Plus, if you miss a program, the Real Presence Radio app is your one-stop shop for local and national podcasts, including our signature show, Real Presence Live. The Real Presence Radio app, with you every step of your faith journey. Download it today and see what you've been missing.
If you have ever been through the hell of deep darkness and suffering, like the suicide of a loved one, do you know that your experience may be helpful to someone else? I'm Father Chris Alar. Mercy is defined as a particular mode of love that, when love encounters suffering, it does something about it. And when you exercise the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, you are truly loving your neighbor. Jesus said, "When a soul approaches me with trust, I fill it with an abundance of graces that it cannot contain it within itself, but radiates them to other souls." Let us show you how to be that radiator and find healing for yourself in the process. Please visit suicideandhope.com so I can personally pray for anyone you've lost. And to get our book, After Suicide, There's Hope for Them and You, which helps with any kind of suffering or loss, not just suicide. I promise it will help.
What if you could earn a degree that offers the best of both worlds, an MBA and a master's degree in philosophy? The University of Mary offers one degree that combines world-class business training with a careful study of life's deepest questions through their combined MBA, MA, and philosophy program. By earning one degree in both philosophy and business online, you will rigorously engage the big ideas needed to address professional challenges. Visit CatholicProfessional.life.
This is Real Presence Live on the RPR Network, bringing you stories of faith and hope through local hosts and guests from across the Upper Midwest. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, Real Presence Radio listeners, to Real Presence Live, coming to you from St. James Coffee in the lovely, beautiful Med City of Rochester, Minnesota. We're just back on the other side of a break. We are here with, and I'm going to say her name correctly because she just got married, Kristen Terrio. We were talking about the movie Cabrini and some companion books that have been re-released, but we totally skipped over just asking Kristen to just share a little bit about herself and maybe her faith journey and like what she does besides put together the Mother Cabrini companion novel.
Sure. So, yes, I work at Sophia Institute Press as the media spokesperson. So basically, I do book tour elements, virtual interviews and podcasts and TV episodes for all of the authors who are otherwise indisposed, either because they have been dead for centuries and they're a reprint, or they might be a foreign author who needs some help with the American distribution and PR campaign. So I basically read the books from the Church's Treasury that we've published, and many of my favorite books from Sophia are these reprints from 100 or so years ago that just really delve deep into a lot of interesting aspects of the faith that I had never really known about before. And I present those to audiences, and it's a lot of fun. I get to speak to people of a variety of backgrounds, including more secular shows. So I'm somewhat regular on the show called Coast to Coast AM at night, which is like this.
I love that show.
But they also strangely have an interest in Eucharistic miracles and things like that. So it's fun to incorporate the evangelization with the more of the Catholic vertical too. So I am also an author. So my first book was published under my maiden name, Christian Van Uden, like I mentioned, and this is called When the Sickle Swings, Stories of Catholics Who Survived Communist Oppression. This was really the culmination of a decade of work that began when I was in college, interviewing survivors of communism who faced persecution for their faith. So I spoke to people from Cuba who were in the prisons there as political prisoners, Czechoslovakia who participated in the underground church and were able to keep the faith despite outright persecution from the government, as well as a few stories from Hungary and Romania, people who ultimately fled to the United States under the communist era. So this was amazing. This is really my pride and joy, life's work. And from then on, I expected to keep writing. I frequently write articles, but this opportunity fell into my lap because Angel Studios approached Sophia for some help with these Cabrini books, and I was able to quickly pull together in about a month this companion, where of course these are all mother's own words, so I didn't have to really write the whole thing like I did with my last book, but I organized it, compiled it, and wrote the introduction. And so that was a wonderful project for me, and I hope that, you never know what's going to happen next. I have some writing ideas up my sleeve, but I think the next one will probably be just as much as a surprise as this one.
Wow, so what does that do, faith-wise for you, spirituality-wise, to just constantly be in the writings of such amazing people?
It's kind of a double-edged sword, because I'm sure working in Catholic media can sometimes make it challenging to split between work and your own personal faith, to know, sometimes you have to take a step back from looking at all the statistics and all of that and remember what you're really doing this for. But on the other side, it's, of course, an immense privilege to be able to do this and to be able to make this your focus, because it is the mission of the company that you work for and of the company that publishes your works. So it's been, I think, an overall a huge benefit to be able to dedicate so much time to deep reading of the works of the saints and of these somewhat more obscure Catholic works, and also in terms of my previous book, to be able to spend that time speaking to Catholics who in our own modern day and age have undergone various degrees of martyrdom. So it's the fabric of the faith that's all around us. I am given these opportunities to really take a look at and magnify in a much more, in this much more focused way.
And what a beautiful thing, genealogy is a big thing for people, knowing about your past and knowing where you came from and your family members. And you literally help keep that alive for the rest of, I don't have time to go jump into the Vatican archives. I wish I did and I was allowed to bring those, the pertinent things that we really should never forget to the forefront again. What a beautiful ministry you get to have.
I know, thank you. And it's really fascinating to discover some of these books. What one of mine, a spokesperson title from a few months ago, was of this situation in Lourdes, for example, where basically, I won't spoil the book, it's called Evidence of Satan in the Modern World, but the devil was trying to corrupt St. Bernadette's message and not let it get out to the world. And I was like, I never knew that happened.
Yeah, because we just presume so that we just have it now, and then we don't know actually the history of how that came to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we and that's the thing too. Our previous guest was talking about how there's just the spiritual warfare is evident when you're trying to get the message out. And like that just happened. It's just happening right now. And here Bernadette and like getting the message of Lourdes out suffered like the same challenges, which that just makes me feel a little bit better about it. That
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
That this is not just a new thing. This is just what's always been happening.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, amazing. Oh, God, what a gift that you get to. Oh, that is so neat. Like, I love what I do. And, like, it's my gift and my talent. And then you, obviously, your gifts and talents. Yeah, they lead you right to that. And then, oh, yeah, you keep the saints alive for us, which is. Yeah, an incredible privilege you get to have. But I suppose we probably should get back to, like, the books. But I could probably talk to you about that for hours. But, There's one beautiful thing about the movie that you already mentioned, and that's like she wanted to go somewhere else, and she was asked to go to New York instead of go to China, and like the obedience in her doing what was asked of her, and then in the end she ends up getting to do what she really wanted to, which to me is such a beautiful thing. So do you have like in your companion stuff like perspective on her travels? Like how those probably enhanced her spiritual life to really sacrifice what she wanted, do what was asked, and then just be patient and wait and just do what you are asked to do.
Yeah, definitely, because the letters that I drew from were all from her travels for the most part. So we get both the day-to-day experiences as well as more of her meta interpretations of the role of missionary travel in her vocation. And as you mentioned, she kind of had to adjust to God's will. This is an example of her submitting to God's will and knowing that she didn't know best, despite the heavy draw that she felt towards China, that she had to submit to the obedience to the Pope and to God's will, and that ultimately this was going to be best not only for her soul, but for those of who she served. So, again, that's where her trust comes through, that this was the right thing. And the title of the biography, The World is Too Small, actually comes from a quote of hers that is featured in the movie, where the Pope asks her, basically, how do you have the energy to do all of this? And, like, are you trying to start an empire? And what is your main goal? And she replies that the world is too small for what I intend to do, because she had this great love of souls and wanted to save really everybody on the earth, and was only limited by the bounds of time and space. And so this missionary zeal really comes through in her travel writing. She has sections where she will often quote her favorite saint, whose name she took as a religious, Saint Francis Xavier, who was, of course, himself a great Jesuit missionary.
Which is why I thought she was a boy. Yes.
Yes, exactly. It wasn't him. He was somewhere else. But she would travel on these steamships, and it was really interesting to me, just in a practical sense, to read about how much she was respected on board, that by that time she had either made such a name for herself, or just the power of her beatific calm and spiritual presence just made the other passengers and the captain very deferential towards her and willing to help her complete her mission. And a line that I write in the introduction is that she was a woman who was always at peace but never at rest, because she always had this calmness and, again, this very spiritual peace about her, but she never was lazy. She was never resting. She was always, as she says, quote, up and doing. And so this her busyness was not something that took away from her vocation, but rather something that served it. And so throughout her missions, we hear some beautiful meditations. One that comes to mind is when she and her sisters were somewhere in Latin America, and they were riding on smaller boats, and while they were going down a river, this huge flock of birds started to follow them and fly above them, and she and her sisters were speculating, what does this represent? Is this the number of souls that we're going to save here at this mission, or, oh, maybe this is the number of souls that are going to be influenced by this mission in the future, or the number that we will save throughout our entire ministry? And so even just these natural occurrences always took for her a spiritual significance, and she approached every aspect of her travel, including the weather, as signs from God. So when a storm goes over, she describes the state of the soul that's in the state of sin as mimicking the storm. It's all in turmoil and unsettled. But then when there's a beautiful, peaceful, calm day on the ocean, she talks about the tranquility of a soul at the state of grace. So she's constantly using these experiences that she has to translate into a more spiritual iteration in order to be able to communicate these truths to her sisters and to her readers.
And what a beautiful thing, because it's amazing how the world around us reflects the spiritual life. Like, I know when I'm, like, weeding, you get the big weeds first, and you're like, oh, crap, now there are a bunch of medium-sized ones, and then there's the small ones, and I'm like, well, that's literally my sin life. There's the big ones, and when I get rid of the big ones, there's the littler ones that I need to uproot as well. And you just have those moments, and I'm probably going to have to get the companion. Like, that's just going to be what has to happen.
Oh, good.
Because I love those things because they make the faith so relatable. And it just it brings it to a point where, like, people who really struggle with faith can understand it. Because when you can see the things, like, physically in front of you that represent the spiritual, that is, oh. To me, that's one of the best ways that you can possibly evangelize. So Mother Cabrini did a great job with that. All right, well,
and she uses these allegories, too, that really imitate scripture at some times, too. So she's using these universal means of evangelization.
Oh, incredible. All right, well, thank you very much, Kristen. You have your book, The Mother Cabrini Companion, and then we also have the tie-in book, The World is Too Small. That was one of the 1940s biography on Mother Cabrini. Is there any last thing you want to say in our last 30 seconds to our listeners about Mother?
I would just say that allow yourself to be surprised by Mother Cabrini. She was a saint that was never really on my radar as someone that, to whom I had a great devotion before. But now, after hearing her story and being able to relate to her through reading her own words, she's someone I will definitely be asking for intercession for my entire life. And so, really, for anyone, despite your previous favorite saints, give Mother Cabrini a chance, and I think that you will really love getting to know her.
All right, well, thank you, Kristen. And listeners, next we have our interview with Bishop Robert Barron. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned.